الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآل الطيبين الطاهرين. اللهم صل على محمد وآل من الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. اللهم إنا نسأل إليك في دولة كريمة تعز بها الإسلام وأهله وتذل بها النفاق وأهله وتجعلنا فيها من الدعاة إلى طاعتك والغادة إلى سبيلك وترزقنا بها كرامة الدنيا والآخرة. اللهم ما عرفتنا من الحق فهم الله وما قصرنا عنه فبلغنا. As usual, I seek the help of Imam Zaman alayhi salatu wa salam that I am able to tell you something beneficial and we make an understanding from the words of A'imma alayhi salam themselves. As I just read, Allahumma ma arraftana min al-haqq fahammilnahu. That means, I have said this before, that means to learn about this ma'arif, we need a taqat, we need a tolerance and bearance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is in this ma'arif that we have, Allah should give us tolerance and bearance for it? Why should we become, we need an extra special strength from Allah? We know that As per one of the ahadith of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, he says, inna hadithuna sa'bun wal mustas'abun. Indeed, our hadith is difficult. Mustas'abun means and it requires difficulties, or it makes difficulties. So may Allah make us those type of people who have the strength to take the ahadith of Aima alayhi wasalam. What I wanted to start with this issue of Imam Zaman alayhi salam, after a couple of months of stoppage that I had due to my traveling, is I had seen that before, but I also in this last 2 months I received a couple of emails in which there is a strong indications and very close connotations that Imam Zaman alayhi salam is going to become zahir, or to reveal or to reappear so soon that the people like us can see it. I have answered to those people who sent me the emails a couple of times, and even I saw them in Dubai, and while we were having lunch, this issue came up again. For like one of those emails was that somebody had gone to Ayatollah Behjat. I don't know if you people have seen those emails or not, that somebody had gone to Ayatollah Behjat, and then he had said Ayatollah Behjat had asked him, what about any good news? He asked Ayatollah Behjat any good news, and Ayatollah Behjat quotes that one from one of his friends that he had seen Imam Zaman alayhi salam, and that Imam Zaman had told him that he had asked Imam Zaman, "Oh Imam, when are you going to reappear?" And he had said, "It will be very soon." And then he had said, "When would it be?" Imam had said, "It will be so soon that even you can see." And that person's age was 64 years old. So that is giving and a very close time and proximity. I have also heard a similar, even more than that. Even I have heard again once more about a year ago or 2 years ago in Iran, about that Ayatollah Behjat himself has said, even I will see Imam Zaman. Ayatollah Behjat is more than 90 years of age. So that is again to give a very close time for it. What I said to that email and what I want to say here is there is a very fine issue here. That is, from one side, we have kazzab al-waqqatun. Those who put time for it are lawyers. So no one can put really a time for Imam's zuhur. Of course, in those emails, they had not given any specific date. But saying to a person of age of 93, 94, saying you also see Imam Zaman, we can say by normal standards that it will be very soon. So we should not accept, I will not accept myself, that the issue of the zuhur become so that we would know in the proximity of only a few years that it will happen. But from the other side, we should not go to the other extreme and the other side, and that is, if you remember, I discussed in the first few sessions when I was talking about the issue of intizar, I quoted from the tongues of A'imma alayhi wasalam that even taking the issue of intizar this way, that we say, okay, Imam is not going to come, so it's going to be another 10 years, okay, that's, I'm fine, so we sit back and lean back and relax. We have a hadith which says, "Inna amruna baqtatan." That means it is so sudden that it can happen. Even there is hadith that it can happen from under your feet. All of this, the general concept and general perception from this ahadith is, one should be so prepared for it that it can happen even tomorrow morning. Why? You cannot ascertain any time for it. The issue of intizar remember the issue of intizar itself. Intizar is not only a means. Intizar itself is not a means that we are going to see Imam Zaman alayhi salam. Intizar, as I explained again, is what is referred to as kayfiyatun nafsani. Is something, an status, a feeling which is in the nafs, must exist in our nafs. Which with that intizar, a lot of things around us get resolved. If one can create that intizar in himself or in herself, that intizar itself is what we are aiming for. Remember, we are not creating intizar to see Imam Zaman. Although intizar itself is to see Imam for seeing Imam Zaman, we are muntazir of Imam Zaman's reappearance. But intizar itself is an objective, is an aim. The status of intizar is what everyone needs. Again, I repeat this and I try to make it more clear that intizar is something that we have to live with all the time. And not everyone can refer to himself and see how much of a muntazir is of we are. To see how much of muntazir we are, we have to see how much do we remember Imam Zaman alayhi salam in our daily life. How much do we refer to him when we face any problem? Who is the first marja for us to go and ask to resolve our problem? That shows us who we really take as a very close and hazir. Hazir, somebody who is hazir means present. A present in our heart is the person that we immediately turn back to him, turn into him and ask for what we want, for whatever we need. If that person in the heart is, first person in the heart is Imam Zaman, then we can say, yes, to a degree Imam Zaman exists. But if that comes in as the last resort, that means we first go and try everyone else, we try our parents, if we are very young and we have our parents are alive, we try our friends, we go into our friends, or we go and take all the necessary material means. And then if all this didn't work, then we remember Imam Zaman, then Imam Zaman is not hazir for us. So we have to work towards creating that state of intizar in us. If we don't have that state of intizar, we have to be sure. Number one, there is a problem. Where that problem lies, we have to go and study about it. Of course, too much, the core of the problems in all of these things is the issue of how much we are delving into material life. If we are so much into material life, of course, there is no reason that we can remember Imam. If we are leading a normal life where we are with A'imah, we feel the huzur and the presence of A'imah, yes, in such case, if we need anything, if anything happens for us, we remember Imam. Of course, there is another issue here which is very important to notice. They say the value of any hope is equal to what it is hoped for. Let's say, if I'm hoping for, okay, by the time it's in the morning, by the time in the afternoon, when I go home in the evening, I'm hoping that there will be a lunch or dinner ready for me to eat. This is a hope for eating. So the level of hope, the value of my hope is so low level. It's only about eating food. So, or if you can make another example of, I'm hoping that I work for a couple of years, then I buy a car. So this hope is about something which is also still a low level. So the value of my hope is equal to the value of what I hope for. It's always like that. What I want to get at, although, this is very important, although, which for everything we should turn to Imam and ask Imam alayhi salam. But remember, we can ask higher value things from Imam. Imam is there for all the things we need. He is not there only for the material needs that we have. He is not there only for the house we want, for the car we want, or for the travel we want to do, or for whatever, or whatever needs that we have. It is good, definitely, I'm encouraging, and we have to always, for any difficulties, to go back to Imam. But what we have to do, we have to create higher value hopes in us. Higher value hopes is for higher value things. For higher value things, oh Imam alayhi salam, I want to get ma'arif, I want to learn ma'arif of you. I want to learn what you know. That's the biggest thing one can say, one can ask for is, I want to see what Imam sees. We have in, I think it's in Ziyarat Ashura, that we want to live the life of Imam and we want to die the death of Imam. There are many things that we can have, we can ask, which they have a higher value, which when you ask, we go for a higher value thing, then your hope becomes higher value. I will have a higher value. And remember, this is very important because we are all living with the hope. The whole life of our life is hope. So if that hope with us is a high value hope, then you are living with something very valuable. And that's something very valuable. The best of it, of course, is when we can become universal creatures. Universality is to ask for everyone, to get out of ourselves, and not just ask for ourselves, oh Imam, please may help me to buy this house, or oh Imam, help me, even when it comes to spiritual needs from Imam. Oh Imam, help me to make my salat better. Oh Imam, help me to remember you. Although these are all good, but still there are higher value demands that we can ask from Imam. Those higher value demands can happen in us, that can come to our heart only when we become universal. How do we become universal? That is when we go out of ourselves. We do not want everything for ourselves. We do not want the whole world for ourselves. If you notice, we all have this problem that even when it comes to from the material demands and needs to spiritual demands, we want everything for ourselves. We don't know anything apart from ourselves. Even if when we start to do dua for others, it is because we have learned that if you want your dua happens for you, if you want to get your hajat, it is good to first start with dua for other people. So when that becomes the central reason for us doing dua for others, still we are in ourself and we're in our selfishness. So we have to learn to become a universal being. The universality is a feature which makes us close to A'imma alayhi salam. Because A'imma alayhi salam, as the perfect human or insan kamil, they are perfect, they are universal. And they had no self, they didn't want anything for themselves, and whatever they asked for, although this is an irfanic topic, I don't want to touch it in this topic, that is, Even whatever they want for themselves, it is for us. Because the whole creatures, the whole creation is part of the wujud of Imam alayhi salam. So when Imam wants something for himself, he is wanting it for everybody else. Whereas it is not like that for me. If I want for myself, I'm asking only for myself. Because I am not a universal creature. But everything in the universe, everything else out in the universe, is part of the wujud of Imam. So, this difference we have to make when we see Imams are asking. Although, if you go to their duas is very universal, but even when they are asking for themselves, they are asking for everyone else. So, what we have to do is we have to work to create the state of intizar in our nafs. And with that state of intizar, all our problems, from materialistic problems to spiritual problems, will be resolved. Especially those who are finding the life difficult, because the life in Akhirat Zaman, it is quoted that it is difficult. The fethan means the plural fitna. Fitness of Akhirat Zaman, there is hadith that goes to everybody's house. They say, the hadith says, no mu'min can make himself free from
fitna of akhir zaman. And you go and work out for yourself. What is this fitna of Imam akhir zaman? That it says it comes to, I don't know what is the equal word for English or Arabic. In Farsi they say it comes even to pastu, to that very small little corner of your house. You cannot, you are not free of those fitna of akhir zaman. So just an example of it. An example. Don't take this. This hadith is about this. An example of it is with internet and all those takassur and mutakassirat and all those diversities of life, which very much is connected with internet. You can find it comes with you into your small little corner where you are saying your salat. It can come there. It can come for our children. So fitna of akhir zaman is something which will hit everyone. The same way it hit Bani Israel. There is hadith that whatever happens for Bani Israel will happen for Ummat Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. And anyway, and when we leave with intizar and remembering that ruh is not, the ruh does not have the issue of time. Time is an issue of the body only. Example of which is you all of you turn back, think of your 20 years back. How close do you feel it is? When I remember my age of 20, I feel, oh my God, it was only last week. I feel it's so close. All of us are the same. When you think of an incident which has happened to you 5 years ago, 10 years ago, you feel it so close. The reason of that feeling is this fact that ruh does not have time as such. Time is an essence of this material life. So, with this notion that ruh does not have time, it's not a time-bound thing, by that, then the issue of intizar is linked so close to Imam Zaman alayhi salam. Because the moment you take, we have been told to take it this way. If you put a seed, you plant a seed into the earth, you have to see the tree there, then and there. It is not like this. You put a seed and they say, okay, yes, it takes a time, then I have to water it, you have to look after it. Of course you have to do all of this until we see the tree. But if you can work on this notion that you see why you put the seed in the earth, you see the tree at that time, that means when you are with intizar, at the same time you are seeing Imam Zaman alayhi salam. Imam Zaman and intizar are both the same thing. If you work, we work on intizar, intizar does not become something like, okay, there is not an imam, I have to be muntazir for you. The intizar itself becomes the imam for you. That is like you are living with the imam. You work and you will see how it affects. It becomes so much close to you that you are not able to differentiate between, is this intizar in you or this is imam in you? Because in the reality is imam is in us, is with us. Imam, I mean, we are part of the wujud of Imam. So we are qayyib from Imam. It is not that Imam is qayyib from us. It is us who is qayyib from Imam. And the reason that we are qayyib from Imam is our hawa and hawas. And this hadith, there is a hadith, very famous hadith that from many of Imam alayhi salam is quoted, that Imam Zaman alayhi salam for us is like a sun behind a cloud. What is sun behind the cloud? Number one, the sun behind the cloud, it has got all its effects. I mean, even if you don't see it, but it's working. So that means, even if you do not see Imam, even your body parts are working with the velayat takwini of Imam. So no matter whether we see Imam or not. The other thing, this hadith can be really expanded and talked about probably for an hour or so. But quickly touching on the other thing about this hadith that I was thinking the other day myself, that is, it is, sun is behind the cloud. What is between us and the cloud? Between us and the sun is that cloud. What is that cloud? Cloud is made of water which has become the steam and become a lot of air bubbles are in this. Those air bubbles is making the cloud so that it looks, it can create a sort of hijab between us and sun. And those air bubbles are hawa and havas. Those are the havas. I don't know. You all understand hawa and havas, right? Those clouds are our hawa and havas, which separates us from Imam. If we are able, Hafiz in a Iranian poet says, to khud hijab khud, to khud hijab khud ye Hafiz. Something in those lines, I can't remember exactly the poet. He says, you yourself are the hijab between you and God. Hafiz, the Iranian Arif and poem, he says, you are you. Your mere existence is your hijab between you and God. So that is referring to our wants and wishes and whims and wills. This is what which separates us from Imam Zaman alayhi salam. So if we are able to dissolve those clouds which are made from our whims and wishes, gradually we can see Imam. Even if we don't do it, sun from behind the cloud is working, is giving his light, is giving his nutritional value, heat and whatever to the plants and everything else. But if we are able to dissolve those clouds, to get rid of it, get it away, we can see Imam alayhi salam. So we have to work in such a way, and the first foremost practice for this is when you're alone at your privacy, talk to Imam Zaman alayhi salam. Believe that Imam is there, is with you all the time. If you believe that, if you talk to Imam, it's not that you only, whenever you face a problem, to go and to talk to Imam. Just, we say in Farsi, do dard-e dil. I don't know what to say Mehdi in English. Can you help me? Dard-e dil. Dard-e dil is when you want to talk about your sadnesses, you want to talk about your happiness, when you want...
Cries
on somebody's shoulder. Yeah, cry on Imam's shoulder. When I say cry, I don't mean cry by shedding tears. Tell him whatever you want, even if you're happy. Even if something happens and you become happy. We can talk to Imam, it doesn't matter. Let's do that practice so that gradually we feel the presence of Imam. The other thing I wanted to say, how much time do I have? It's over, right? The other thing I wanted to say is, last night I was seeing, there is a book from Al-Hammad Al-Fatlawi. He's an, I don't know from which country, but he's Arab. It's been translated into Farsi. I saw it on the internet in one of Iranian news sites. Part of it was there. It was interesting for me. That part which was there, which was put into Farsi, was about, it was saying, Sukut of Israel. That means the collapse, the fall of Israel. And in which, in that book, the author has quoted 3-4 hadiths. I mean, much more in that part that I saw. The 3-4 hadiths which was saying, this part was particularly about the war with Jews in Jerusalem. And the hadith was saying that there will be a big war which Iranian will fight the Jews in Jerusalem, while Arab governments are supporting the Jews in that war. And it had come with some hadiths, which one was Imam Reza alayhi salam says, Qum, the city of Qum, is a piece of Baytul Maqdas, or Baytul Maqdas, mostly we say. But it is Baytul Maqdas in Jerusalem. And then it says, another hadith was saying, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam has said, the land of Qum is sacred and Muqaddas, and we are from the people of Qum, and people of Qum are from us. So, and also it explains there are other places which says Qum, it's not only Qum. When those ahadiths, when it refers to Qum, it's talking about the people who are all, the believers and mu'mineen, and it's not about only the people of Qum. And also there was another hadith which says, when Prophet, this is from Hadith Mi'raj, which Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, that when he was going, he says, when I was with Jibreel on the skies, Then I saw from up there, I saw a piece of land which was mountainous, and it had red soil, and an old man with the hat was sitting there. And I asked Jibreel, you have heard it, right? That who is that? It was. He said, this place is called Qom, and that person was Shaitan. That then Prophet Sallallahu asked Jibreel to take him down to there, and he goes there, and he tells the Prophet says, I told to that person who is Shaitan, Qom means get up. Qom in Arabic means get up, and then go away and do and sit in the way of the enemies of these people. These people are the friends of Ahlul Bayt, or the, what do you call it? Those who have got the velayat of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. He asked Shaitan to leave that place. So then the book put all this hadith together and says he had said that what happened very recently in Gaza, that was the conclusion of the writer. What happened very recently in Gaza, he says, it was very similar to that hadith that he was saying there would be a war between the Jews and Iranians, where Arabs would be helping the Jews. He said Gaza was exactly what happened, although Iran as a thing, Iranians were not there. And he was not wanting to say this is the same hadith. He was saying this has happened, but maybe the hadith itself, the very mistake of hadith might be a real physical and real war there, which Iranians and all the lovers of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam from Arabs or Westerners even would be there. But the point he was making was this is happening, and Iran was supporting if they were not there, but they were giving arms and those things. But the most important part was how Arabs were supporting Qazans or the people of Qazan. So when I saw that, firstly I found the whole thing interesting. But the other thing it brought to my mind again is how we are seeing a lot of things that we all immediately related to the issue of intizar, and we all think and expect that Imam is going to come anytime soon. I don't want, my point here is not to say it is not going to happen, but the only thing is we should not put any time for it, and we should not, in the meantime, we should not make it so late and think, relax and sit back and say, no, it's not going to happen during my time, so I can be relaxed. We have to live with the notion of Imam appearance all the time and every second and every minute. I do pray to Imam Zaman alayhi salam, make us aware of his presence with us, and makes us understand, make us feel his presence, so that whatever comes in our way, spiritual or material, we turn no way except to him first. And only after we have asked him and we have spoken to him and we have taking him to sharing with our story and with our wants, then we take the next step, whatever it will be. We have to go and work for it, or whether we have to go and see somebody for it, or we have to take any physical step for it. Bar Muhammad wa al Muhammad salawat. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa al Muhammad.